Lamed Hey. Yeah, remember Lila Zichra. Not that there's more to talk about Lamed Dalet, but there's always been more to talk about. Yeah, remember Lila Zichra Mipicha Ayamsh. We should be mentioning Kadosh Baruch on a regular basis. Sweet, sad story. Right? There was a woman that in the Carlo by us in Cleveland. This woman was a tzaddikus. Kadosh Baruch Hu was constantly, she was constantly, you know, very, very aware of, you know, chiyuvim, mitzvahs, etc. So she used to go visit a nursing home. And she wouldn't mention Kadosh Baruch Hu's name in the nursing home because she's worried about the halachas of, you know, whether the room is really clean sometimes. Sometimes there's smells, etc., different things which are going on in the reality of a hospital type of setting. There's many times where the room is not halachically clean. So she wouldn't mention the Shem Hashem. So one time this lady says to her, like, you know, I don't get you Jews, like, you never talk about God. Like, that was the woman's comment. So this woman who's like, you know, one of the frumsta women you ever get to find, you know, very, you know, a lot of Yerushalayim, etc. But you know, we don't talk about Kadosh Baruch Hu enough. This is the first thing that, because, you know, we have to be careful how you say Hashem Hashem, if the Yerushalayim, how you say it, but we should talk about him. Many havdolas, you know, by the religious goyim, you know, they talk about the, they mention him, you know, they have their gachka, they talk about their gachka regularly, you know. I'm sitting on a subway, I'm a learning chumash, and there's this black lady across from me, and she's, you know, saying, reading psalms, and then she touches me, she says, "I love you," you know. Like, she has no problem saying, you know, this in front of the whole metro subway, you know. You never find a Jew do that, you know. Like, it's a pasenish. So you're allowed to zikr and picha al yom. You have to talk about Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is part of your conversation. We say Baruch Hashem and Yirtzeh Hashem and Besed Hashem, and we, you know, but it's not up to say it. It's to think about it. Back in yeshiva, this goes back. I was a barker still. A guy one time said, he wants to tell you a funny story. He's walking by a store in City X, and he sees a sign that says, "Mem Hey, we'll be back in half an hour." He's looking at him and says, "What's Mem Hey stand for?" Funny cop, Mir Tashem. Mir Tashem, you know. So if that's what Mir Tashem means to you, that it's Mem Hey, it was a waste of time, you know. Like, you know, the other half of that thought process, just to mention it, you know, somebody says, you know, you take care of it, says, "Yeah, Mir Tashem." Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. He says, "No. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. The question is what you want. Don't blame Kadosh Baruch Hu. If Hashem wants, no. What do you want? You know, that's a different issue. But, you know, sometimes the Mir Tashem is not the Mir Tashem is the issue, not the Mir Tashem, but." The Kadosh Baruch Hu name should be mentioned. I'm hesitant to say it, but Rabbi Miller Zatzal one time said it. You know, he was very comfortable saying things which are not so, in a very, very strong way. He says, "We don't talk about God enough because it's a four-letter word." You know, that was what he said. I was like, I can't believe he just said that. But like, you know, for Jews, it's just like, you know, Chas v'Shalom, you mentioned God's name. We have to mention Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu has to be real to us. If he's real to us, he's a part of the conversation. So you talk to him, and you mention his name. Can't step him more. So when you're lying down, you should be constant in your thought of in his avva. And then when you get up, and as you travel, you'll find him. You know, we talk about seeing Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Bria. The Chabad Lubavitch says a beautiful. If you know, there's the Chabad Lubavitch divided into 10 sha'orim. So the second sha'or is called Sha'or Bechina, and the phrase over there, bechina, doesn't mean testing. It means to be mafkin, to be able to recognize and be aware of a Kadosh Baruch Hu through the Bria. Now, people mistakenly use Shara Bechin as a way, as proof for Kadosh Baruch Hu's existence, type of a thought process. And that's not his goal. If you look, it's very clear, if you learn the Shara Yichud, which is the first Shara, the Shara Yichud is where he goes through philosophical proofs of the existence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And in his mind, that question has been laid to rest. We've helped, given you, we fortified you with the ammunition you need to know that Kadosh Baruch Hu exists. That's not the goal of Shara Beis. Shara Beis, Shara Bechira is, and now that you know Kadosh Baruch Hu exists, notice him in the Bria. We use the fact that the Bria is so complicated. It must be there's a creator. He said, no, I know there's a creator. I want you to notice the creator by the level of complexity which exists. Such a beautiful, see his handiwork and feel him, be aware of him. I'm not talking about, we're moving from the intellectual concept to the emotional concept. Feel his presence. You feel his presence by noticing how much he's with you. So this level of complexity creates an awareness of how much he's involved in the world and how much he cares about the world, how much he's with you, how much he's, the detail he's put into the world makes you feel him, feel his care and concern. So a person who, as he goes to bed, Revolba, I think, if I call correctly, has the Sa'ara. There's a Sefer from the Benayar called Sefer Hayira. Have you ever seen the Sefer Hayira from the Benayar? Sefer Hayira from the Benayar sounds like, you know, it sounds like a beautiful topic, like, you know, talking about Yir Shemayim, etc. It's basically a list of the things, the do's and don'ts that a Yid should do. Right? That's basically what it is. You know, a little bit of Hakdam, etc. That's basically what it is. Because Yira means translating into reality of actions. You know, that's what Yira means. It's not enough. The translation of Yira is an awareness to the point that it controls and limits your actions. It directs your actions. That's what Yira is. But Revolva has a comment, if I recall correctly, since the Alishar Kelly Bays, that you see from the flow of the context of the Sefer that when the Bnei Yonah daydreamed, he dreamt about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Like, most of us daydream, the topic is ourselves. You know, when your mind is not thinking about anything else, you're thinking about, you know, are you feeling good, or are you feeling bad? Are you hungry, are you sad, are you tired? And usually the focus is I. I'm tired, I'm hungry, I'm this, I'm that, I want this, I wish I was doing this, I wish I could do more of that, I don't do enough of that. But there's always that word I there. That's the focus. When we daydream about ourselves. You see clearly from the Sefer, he says that when the Bnei Yonah would daydream, he would daydream about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the only the other muscle you have that is, where you find such a concept, is when there's a relationship between two people and the person is very, very connected, you think about the other person. That's the lashon of Ba'avosai Tishke. That a person is constantly involved in that type of emotion. The Rambam uses that lashon the same way a man who has a feeling of emotion of love to a woman, he thinks about her constantly. That's what you think about Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the final goal of Ava. He uses this lashon of Ba'avosai Tishke. So the Rosh is taking that same type of lashon. He says, if you go to bed with that, in other words, the point of going to bed is the moments when your mind is free. You know, the day is finished, you have nothing else you have to do, and your mind's wandering in bed. So what do you think about? So, whatever we think about, you know, each person has the things that they think about. You know, nothing that's really bad, just, you know, but the focus is going to be about myself. He says over here, you want the goals, the focus should be about your love for Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's so real to you, and he's so significant to you, and you feel that the emotion of the connection to the point that's what you think about. That person, wherever you go, you're going to find him. You're going to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu all around you. I've mentioned this before, like, you know, the story with Joshua Bell with the violin. For those of you who are not familiar with the story, so there's a violinist named Joshua Bell. He's considered probably one of the top violinists, if not the top violinist, which exists in the world nowadays. So he agreed about 7-8 years ago. He agreed to do a sociological study with the judge of the Washington Post. So they stuck him into a subway station on a Monday morning during rush hour. They dressed him up with a Nationals T-shirt and a baseball cap, right? They stuck him down over there with, you know, looking like a mendicant, looking like, you know, a poor guy in L'Enfant Plaza metro station. And he played for, and then they had a video camera videoing it so they could analyze it afterwards. And the question was, how many people are going to stop and listen to this piece of music? He was playing his Stradivarius, which is worth over $3 million, right? Over here in this, looking like a mendicant, you know, with a few dollars in the violin case. And they counted. He played for 45 minutes. He played one of the most difficult, most beautiful pieces of violin music which exists. Played it straight for 45 minutes. He didn't stop. It was one long piece. One of the hardest pieces of violin music. Over 1,070 people passed by. Seven people stopped to listen. The person who stopped the longest was a young boy, and they, you can see in the video, the mother trying to pull the kid away because the mother's got to go to work, you know, right, etc. Right, so that was the story. There's more to the story. It's not relevant right now, but the the point of the article was that when beauty is not presented in the right way, we can walk by. The name of the article is "Pearls Before Breakfast," and you know, and nobody noticed the pearls, right? Because it wasn't presented in the right setting. You want a person to appreciate the value of a diamond. You put it in a beautiful setting, you appreciate the value of the diamond. You see a diamond by itself, it doesn't necessarily catch you so much, unless you're somebody who's the mumch. You understand? I said, excuse me, we walk from our house to yeshiva every morning. We have the exact same problem. The beauty of the Bria is more beautiful. It's more the song is a more beautiful song than Joshua Bell's violin music. And we walk from the house to yeshiva and Pasha, we have no idea that there was an orchestra playing. It's the exact same thing. We don't find the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But the person who has the emotion of connection, he pushes, you know, the walk from there to from here to there is like so exciting. Like he sees the Kodesh Baruch Hu's love all around him. The person made such a beautiful bria with the light and the sound and the smells and the freshness. He feels it. He feels the Kodesh Baruch Hu's embrace. And we don't. So that's a challenge. Okay, let's hold it here.